Good morning. Just to give you all a heads up, I started looking at chapter 4 and thought, well, I can preach verses 1 through 6. Great, not a problem. And I was about 2 days into it, and I realized we had 2 days worth of preaching. So we're going to do one verse today, chapter 4, starting verse 1 in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Before we get into that, I want to remind us that we have been looking at faith, or had been looking at faith, and where it comes from and what it is and how it works. That faith is not that if that faith that is not exercised, put into action, is dead faith. Our faith as Christians is to be a living faith. It is to be seen in our actions, in our believing. And believing is faith in action. Believing is putting into action the knowledge that we have received by faith. I will say that till you are tired of hearing it or you know it, which hopefully will be the second one. And it's by faith, not feelings, that we respond to God. Not feelings. Feelings can come and go. Faith is something that we have in our hearts and we exercise. By faith, we believe that Jesus died and rose again for all. We, as Christians, are, by faith, relying completely on who Jesus is and what he has done. What he has done to make us righteous, justified, sanctified, and holy as different parts of the body, his church. We now move from what God has done for us in these chapters we're about to start, from what he has done for us and what we must be and do in the everyday. Not just on certain days, but every day. In other words, what our responsibilities are now. We just celebrated what was done for us last week with the death and resurrection of our Lord. And like I said, it seems very appropriate that we would now look at to what we who are called to do and be, should be doing and being. Ephesians 4:1. I therefore, prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Now the sentence goes on, so I'm going to finish the sentence. Paul's sentences are long. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And we'll look at those other two verses next week. But I want to talk about the calling. The hope of our calling, in the end, right, is our salvation, heaven, streets of gold, however you manage heaven to imagine heaven to be. That's what our goal, our ultimate goal is. But in the here and now, it is empowerment and strength and the enabling presence of God by the Spirit to be and to do what we are created by God to do and to be. God took the initiative to call people to salvation in and through Jesus the Christ, right? If, and there's that, it's a huge word, two letters, that's a fork in the road, right? If you answered that call, or if you have answered that call, then you are to participate with him in his redemptive work. In other words, you have the responsibility to tell others of what God has done and what you have found in Jesus Christ. Because only you can testify to what he's done for you. It's real easy to say, well, God does all these great things. Well, what has he done for you? And we need to talk about that. We need to share that, what we have in Christ. You have the God-given ability to respond to the calling he has on your life. Think about that. You have the God-given ability to respond to the calling he has on your life. God has called the world to repentance and salvation from sin. That's a given, right? We all understand that as Christians. He wants none to perish, but all to come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. Ephesians 2:8 tells us, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your doing, your own doing. It is the gift of God." When I was coming into ministry, I had to read a book called, and Randy Maddox wrote Responsibility, okay? Responsible Grace, that's the name of the book. In that book, he explains, and I had to get a dictionary to understand what he was saying. He explains why we're able to respond to the grace God gives. Because apart from God giving us the faith that we need, we are unable to respond to the grace of salvation, to the grace given to us, offered to us in Jesus Christ. We have a responsibility to our calling that comes from our ability to respond by faith to the grace offered to us. We have that responsibility. The whole world does. They just refuse to do it. You see, God gives us the ability to respond to the saving grace offered to us in Jesus Christ, the good news, the gospel. That's what we're able to respond to because of the faith that He gives us. We are enabled and empowered to the grace that's offered to us through what God has done to us. God's calling us to salvation because of the faith given to us in this world. By the faith given to us, we are able to respond. I want to make sure we get that. Faith is presented as a gift from God in 2 Peter 1:1, Philippians 1:29, and I'll slow down if you're writing these down, and Acts 3:16. I'm going to read from 2 Peter. This is addressed to those who have received a faith as the same kind as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. To those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. It's something that's given to us. It's given to the world. Faith is there. How did they and us receive our faith? By the righteousness of God. That's what he says, right? This is how we all receive faith. But that faith can be misplaced. People, places, and things. We often put our faith in other things or other people other than God. That's a misplaced type of faith. We actually operate on faith on a daily basis. And we do it without realizing it, I think. How many of you set an alarm to make sure you get up every day? Okay. You do that in faith. You have faith in that alarm clock or your telephone, whatever it may be, right? You're putting faith in that. And you know what else you put your faith in? Self. Because in order to do that, you have to set the alarm, right? And I don't know about the rest of you, but it took me a while to understand that little gadget we carry in our pockets for a while. So I had to have faith in me that I was doing it right. And then I had to have faith in Verizon or whoever, iPhones or Android, that it would go off at the right time to wake me up. Now, I don't usually use an alarm, so my wife will tell you I'm way up before it goes off. But where are we placing our faith? I mean, you set an alarm. You go through what all you're going to do to wake yourself up, and you make sure you did it correctly, right? Faith in self. We do it with our vehicles. We're going to go get bread and milk, and we're going to get the stuff we need. And we just walk out, put our key in the vehicle, and start it because it's going to start, and we're going to go. And you know what else we put our faith in? Dollar General. Because it has everything you need. They're going to have milk. We're going to get in the car that we have faith in. We're going to drive that car down the road. And we're going to go into Dollar General, who we have faith in, because they have everything that we're going to need in that moment. It's misplaced faith. It's misplaced faith. as Christians, we are to place our faith in God for salvation, and many people do. But do we trust Him to accomplish what He would have us to do and be as Christians? To answer our calling? Paul was a prisoner in Rome when he wrote this to the church. He had faith that it would accomplish what he sent it to do, which was to for them to walk in a manner worthy of their calling, to which they had been called, right? We just read that verse. He put that out there to encourage them, and he sent it. So he had faith to write it. He had faith to send it. He had faith in the person he sent it with. But all that faith came back to one. He had faith in God that what he was writing would accomplish what God wanted it to. We have been given faith. Is it misplaced faith? Faith in things or people? Or is it a dead faith that produces no action? Because as has been pointed out in James, faith without works is dead. And you as a believer are created in Christ Jesus for good works. Are we doing what we're called to do? Are we taking up the responsibility that has been given us? If there is no action on your part in the knowledge of what God has done, again, that is dead faith. But when you realize that God has called you not only to salvation, but to be a part of something that is beyond what you can do in and of yourself, you have to respond to that calling. The moment we realize it, when we understand it, when we get it, there's something in us that causes us to have to respond. And that is God working in us as well. How you respond to that determines if you are His or not, right? Let's say you just choose, I know, I have the knowledge, okay, Jesus died for me, that's great, but I'm not really ready to do that yet. Either you're His or you're not, right? I would dare say your response leads you to heaven or hell. Your choice. Because you not only have the response ability or the ability to respond, but you also have the responsibility as one who is believing and a member of His church to be a Christian and to walk in a manner worthy of the calling God has called you to. He has called us as the church, but He's called you as individuals, as individual members of the church, to do your part. When we did the class, I threw a ball of string around. You all remember what a disaster that was. And everybody held on to it. And everybody was hanging on to it. And it was really nice. And we kept it tight. And everybody was doing the thing they were supposed to do. The moment somebody let go, somebody else had to gather that in. And gather it in. And gather it in. We all have a place. We all have what we're called to do. We all have a reason for being here. Every one of us has been gifted as members of the body of Christ to be a part of the body. We have the ability to do that. To walk in a manner worthy of the calling we have received. And that again implies, like I just said, being an active member of the local church. Doing what we together as a congregation are called to do while growing individually in the grace and knowledge of God. Building our relationship with Him as individuals. Coming to understand what He wants from us, right? But that also is going to affect everything else. You see, that means that if you respond to the calling that God has on you and you have committed your life to following Christ, that means that you, your walk, how you live in this world, may have to undergo some radical changes. That your priorities have to fundamentally change as well. Because if they don't, you are still living in the old life. You are still living the old life. You are still living and walking like the world. There has to be change. That's part of being a Christian. Listen, if it looks like a duck, and it walks like a duck, and it quacks like a duck, chances are it's a duck, right? Well, guess what? When the world looks at us, and we haven't taken the responsibility for what we do and what we say, and we're living like the world and talking like the world, what are they going to say? That's a duck. We need to live the life we're called to live as witnesses so they can say, that's a Christian. They live like Christ. They act like Christ. They speak like Christ. There is nothing that is not of Christ about them. Or at least they're trying to. Right? Because none of us are perfect yet. But we're being perfected. We're being perfected. And if you think you've arrived, talk to me after church. God has given you His Spirit to enable and empower you to be and do as He has called you to be and do. He has given that to us as the church, but He's given it to you. He has given of Himself. The gift is not what He does. It's God Himself. Do we grasp that? Do we understand that it's God living in us that empowers us, that enables us, that helps us, that strengthens us to be and do what we're called to be and do? And then He goes, and here's what I want you to do. And you go, that's a long way down. We have to take, I don't know what was said, but it was bad. It's usually Jan. Anyway, you have to take your next step. I can't take your next step for you. You can't take mine. What you're called to do is not what I'm called to do. But what we're called to do, we are called to do together as the church. But we can't do it until you do your part. You have a responsibility to God for all that He has called you to do. You and you alone are responsible for what you choose to do and not to do. The devil made me do it, ain't going to cut it on Judgment Day. Or the devil said I didn't have to do it. Again, it's still not going to work on Judgment Day. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. And each of us as believers, each of us as believers can say, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. So we're enabled and we're empowered. He strengthens us. He helps us. He's right there for us. He wants what's best for us. And yet what do we do? Not today, Lord. I've got to mow grass. It's the only morning I got to sleep in. I've heard them all at one time or another, probably some that you've probably used. Notice I didn't look up when I said that. Do we understand that we not only have the ability to respond, but the power to live responsibly as a Christian, as Christians? Do we understand that? Do we really get it? That it's up to you to live in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called? It's up to you. And that's what Paul's telling us. And Jesus has called all of us to one thing or another, and He is still calling us. Chapter 11 of Matthew, the very last three verses, come to me. That's calling, right? He's calling. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We are yoked with Christ in what we are doing as the church. Imagine somebody being yoked with you, and a yoke is doubled, wood, you're in it with another person. Imagine them pulling all the weight, or you refusing to go. I often look and wonder how much Jesus has dragged me along when I refused. Think about it. How much has he pulled you along to get you where you are today? You still have choice. You still have free will. You can still choose to either answer your calling or not. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. Are you heavy laden today? Is there something that's eating at you? Are you worried? Not that Christians worried, we're just concerned. Are you concerned about something that's really weighing heavy on you? Isn't it time to let Jesus shoulder part of that load? Isn't it time to let him strengthen you and empower you to do what he's called you to do? Because the enemy will do everything he can to keep you right where you're at right now. To stifle your growth. To stifle the growth of the church. To stop us as a church in growing. To stop us as individuals so that we can't grow as a church. Isn't it time to say, not today, Satan. Not today. God's called me. I know I'm here for a reason. I know that he has something for me better than what I've ever had before. Jesus is calling. All you have to do is answer that call. Would you join me in prayer as the praise team comes up? Father, we are truly grateful that you have made a way, that you have created us for a purpose and a reason, Lord, that we have a reason for being here, a purpose to fulfill, Lord, not only as individuals, but as your church. So, Lord, this morning I pray for those who are gathered here and those at home, that those who may watch somewhere down the pike, that you, Lord, would open their hearts and their minds to the calling you have on their lives, and that they would walk in a manner worthy of that calling. And I ask this and I give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I find myself constantly reaching back to turn this on, and he has the power. God's calling you. He's calling you to ministry. Plain and simple. There's not a person in here that isn't called to be a minister of some kind. To share the word, to minister to an individual, however you want to phrase it. But we are all called. How are you answering that calling? Would you join me in prayer? Father, we are truly grateful for the calling you have placed on our lives, not only as a church, Lord, but as individuals of your church. Open our hearts and our minds, Lord. Provoke us, prod us, encourage us, help us, enable us, empower us, strengthen us. For it all comes in, through, and by you. Thank you, Lord. Increase our faith where it's needed. Help us to believe when we don't. And let us be yours in everything that we say and do. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to stick around. There's some snacks and drinks, and partake with us. Enjoy fellowship. And I think there might be something else. Jan, you have some words you would like to share?
We're about to have a birthday party.
A birthday party?
Woo-hoo.
Whose birthday? Well, okay.